It's Saturday morning. It's 10 o'clock. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And we are here finally breathing a sigh of relief because it's over for the investor portion of it anyway. It's now we've moved on to October, put September behind us. I'll let Adam take care of all the gory details on that. Let's just say we're about as relieved as anybody could be to see it in the rearview mirror. Now we're just facing little annoying things like government shutdowns that nobody really cares about. So we're joking with the folks that were in here right before us that if we find someone out there who cares about a government shutdown, call in and tell us why. I don't think the phones will be exactly flooded.
Oh, everyone cares deeply.
Oh, yeah, deeply. Yeah. Like every other time. Who knew? Who out there knows the last year it was shut down?
Was it
like 2018 or 19?
I thought it was like 15 years ago.
There was one in between. And that just proves my point.
Okay.
Nobody cares. A bunch of people get a bunch of days off. They come back in. They get retroactive pay for everything.
Mm-hmm.
And they had another nice vacation that doesn't count as vacation time. Enough. If you ran your business that way. Then again, if you ran your business like the house does, we've been saying this week after week. What would you do? You got 2 weeks or 2 months to go. You've got this horrendous budgeting problem in front of you. So what I would do is I would probably go to work. But no, I've not been elected to the House. They just go home and take 6 weeks off and then come back with 2 weeks left. And all of a sudden, they realize, oh, we don't have time to finish this. Just like every other year of my adult life, it seems. All right, enough of that. Let's go on to things that really matter. And that would be welcoming everybody. For all the regulars, welcome back. Thanks for always being there. You're the reason we're in our second half of our ninth year and going strong. I was pointing out yesterday to someone that in that 9.5 years, we have missed precisely 4 shows, 2 because 1 year it was Christmas and New Year's, and the other 2 because the city was evacuated for hurricanes. Every other time we have been here live. So when you start hearing all the reruns of all the other programs you might otherwise listen to, remember, if you want up-to-date live information and someone who will answer the phone when you pick it up and dial 904-222-8255, just come to WBOB on Saturday mornings at 10, and we'll be here waiting. And that goes for today, too. There's a lot to talk about right now, so we'll talk about what we want to talk about unless you pick up the phone and give us a call, and we'll put you on immediately, and we'll talk about what you'd rather do. All right, I already said it. It was a terrible month. But it's over, so let's see how terrible it was.
Well, I did a little bit of a double take this morning when I put the numbers in my spreadsheet, and the NASDAQ was up for the week.
So I went back and double-checked the number because I was
too.
So shocked.
I did, too. I really didn't believe it.
No, it sure didn't seem possible.
Yeah, it was up by 7.5 points or 0.1%, yeah. But it was up.
But it's not red.
Right.
Everything else on this sheet is red.
Yeah, so really, that's the lone bright spot on the month, though, because it was pretty ugly otherwise.
And the strange part of that, too, is when you look at year-to-date, and it went up again, and it was already up 26%, it's been a great year for the NASDAQ.
Yeah, it didn't go up for the month. It went up
for the year. Year-to-date, we're up 26%.
No,
it went up for the week.
It went up for the week,
yeah. The month was horrible. The quarter was horrible.
Yeah.
But the good news is that for the year, we're still in good shape.
Yep. The S&P was down 0.7% during the week, and the Dow was down 1.3%. The month of September has that reputation for a reason. Most of those things come from somewhere, and sure enough, it happened again. It's an odd phenomenon. Maybe people say it's traders coming back from summer vacations I'm not exactly sure why it's like that, but it is the worst month of the year, and there really isn't a close second.
Tax loss, harvesting, going into the fourth quarter where things generally gain, it could be any number of things, but what it's not is fun.
The great news is, though, that typically the fourth quarter is one of the best times of the year for the market. So especially this year has followed a very normal pattern for the market, where the market rises in the first part of the year, kind of flat through the summer, and down in September. And then if it continues to, if it holds, the normal pattern is to go up for the last 3 months of the year. So that would be nice. I'm definitely rooting for that. And the fact that it is the fourth quarter now, that's probably the best news I've been able to give all month.
No kidding.
Within the S&P, there was one sector that was positive in September, and that was energy. It was up 2.4%. The next best sector was communication services, and that was down 3%. So that was the second best.
Yeah.
That's pretty bad.
Many of them, at least, were under five, more than five down.
Yeah. Real estate was the worst performing sector. It was down 7.2%. Things weren't great around the world either. They weren't as bad as the U.S. markets, but they're still bad. India's market was up 0.5%, and Brazil was down just over 0.5%. Those were the two best performers. Germany was off over 6%. Hong Kong, France, and Mexico were all off more than 5.5%. The all world except U.S. ETF was down 3.2% versus the S&P off 4.7% for the month. So definitely slightly better internationally, but not good. Commodities had a good month, though, thanks to the price of oil. It rose 7.7%. The commodities index was up 1.5%, and that was despite silver being down 9%, gold off 4.8%, and natural gas down 4%. So that price of oil really boosted it.
Stupid dollar going up so fast. Mm-hmm. Everybody loves a strong dollar thing. Well, yeah, just see what it does to your investments, to your manufacturers, and so on.
It's really a perfect storm over the month with the treasury yields rising, strong dollar, price of oil up. It's September, so seasonality is bad. It was really a perfect storm of bad things that aren't actually bad for the market necessarily, but are always looked at as bad. So not surprised to see the market do what it did.
Yeah.
The bond market dipped as well on higher interest rates. The 10-year yield started the week off around 4.44% and ended the week at 4.58%. This caused long treasuries to drop almost 8% during the week. Short treasuries lost just 0.08, so definitely a big discrepancy between the long and short end of the curve. The total bond market was down about 2.5%. Despite the poor performance in the market, though, the bull market remains intact. In fact, the S&P, the NASDAQ, and the Russell 2000 all tested their long-term trend lines last week and successfully bounced off of them. That's a good sign going forward. Only the Russell has traded below its 200-day moving average. The others are still well above. So from a technical perspective, the market is not in as bad a shape as you might think.
Yeah, the small caps have been on crutches all year anyway.
Yeah, it's true.
A couple of fits and starts, but they don't go anywhere. I still think it's time to start thinking of more of that. And we do have a call coming in, but we also have about 10 seconds until the break. So please hold on until after the break, and we'll get right to you. And the trivia, don't go anywhere. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And we will get to the phones in just a second, but we do have trivia question. Brought to you, as usual, by Ken Bales at First Coast Alarm, and you can call Kenny at 904-636-7888. I had a triggering event this week that got me thinking about a topic that is not often discussed, that topic being Medicare. We talk a lot about Social Security and the problems it has, but we don't talk much about Medicare and the problems it has, and it turns out they're pretty bad. Real bad, in fact. So my question right now is, what percentage of Americans who are eligible have regular old traditional original Medicare? Or what percentage of Americans? What percentage of Americans, the whole thing, are using traditional Medicare right now? Good morning, Bob.
Hey, good morning, guys.
What's happening?
Hey, you asked. I'm out here dropping my trash off because we don't have refuse collection. I'm at the dump.
Okay.
And you asked on my way up here after I stopped at the post office if someone cared about the government shutdown. Well, there's two types of care. There's those that care that it did shut down because they're mad about it, and then there's those that care that it's a great thing that it shut down because it's going to hopefully wake the other side of the aisle up to rein in some spending.
You have a point.
And so there's always two sides to care.
Yep.
There's the head side and the tail side, if you want to flip a coin. And but anyhow, that you know, that's where I'm at with it. And I'd say traditional Medicare, 23%.
Well, you're a little high.
Okay.
But you're,
well, you know what?
You've got the picture generally, but you're high. All right. Well, yeah, we appreciate it.
Yeah. Talk to you soon.
Okay. Bye. Thanks. Being at the dump chasing away bears and stuff like that?
Possibly.
We used to go to the dump once in a while up in northern Wisconsin. You hardly could go there without seeing a bear. They were everywhere. But they weren't interested in us. They were interested in what they were getting.
They do exist in Florida.
They certainly do.
Yeah.
There have been too many sightings for my taste lately. Anyway, Adam wanted to wrap up a couple things on the market before we move along.
Yep. A couple of good things. Investor sentiment went back into fear territory again this week, meaning there are more people who are bearish instead of bullish on the market.
Speaking of bears?
Yeah, exactly. That's a contrarian indicator, so it could be good news for the market in the weeks ahead. Mm-hmm. We really like it when there's more pessimism than optimism. We saw some good inflation news this week as well, with core PCE rising just 0.1%. That's the lowest rate since 2020. And the year-over-year number was 3.9%. That dropped down from 4.1%. So overall inflation still coming down. It's taking a while, but it is coming down. And the market is now forecasting a 67% chance that the Fed doesn't raise interest rates again this year.
Yeah, it's really unfortunate that the stupidity of government is keeping the energy prices going up rather than down.
Yeah,
it's going to make that stubborn, very stubborn number when it comes to the downside. And you notice they're only reporting core now. I tried for a long time to find the overall number. They just weren't going to tell you what it was.
I saw it this morning. I didn't make a note of it.
I've seen it.
It was very close to the core anyway. So.
Yeah, it wasn't as bad as I thought it would be. But then again, these gas prices are just starting to settle into, you know, if they just turn on the spigot and let it go, we could get back. By sometime next year, we could be back in the 2% range. But I fear this is going to hold it back. But I would agree with the market about a two-thirds chance the Fed will hold this time again.
Yeah, I would go higher than that on the next one. So.
And by the way, it's in November, the next meeting. So we will have a chance to get some more numbers in between now and then.
That is
true.
It
might be helpful.
Yep, because most of the numbers are headed the wrong way right now, which is the right way when it comes to not wanting another rate hike.
Yeah, exactly. So we'll see. You can't help but be a little optimistic right now because October is coming in, and it's traditionally the second best month in the year, and the last quarter is traditionally strong. And as Adam has been pointing out the last couple weeks, the track of the market this year has been a very, very common pattern. You'd almost call it traditional pattern. And that pattern ticks up starting any day now. So if the market does that, we'll regain some of what was lost. And I think very little of it will have to do with a government shutdown. I honestly just don't see that being an issue for people.
Yeah, I saw an article about market performance under government shutdowns. There's no correlation really with the shutdown hurting the market or helping the market.
Yeah, the last time, the one nobody remembers, it was up bigly, as some people would say. So I'm not gonna sit around and borrow trouble on that front for sure. All right, so I was opening my mail this week, and it's that time of the year again where we start getting some new numbers in for what is it going to cost you to have medical insurance? Well, we use Medicare, of course, and not an Advantage plan, which is what I'm going to talk about mostly. But we found out that our supplements, we have a regular supplement to the Medicare A and B, and we have our own drug plan, which is the functional equivalent of Part D Medicare, but we don't use Part D. We just have to pay for some of it in the IRMA, which is a bone that I have to pick with everybody, but can't do anything about it. Anyway, it appeared to be good news. So we use Florida Blue. I'm not going to mince any names with that one because I'm sure they're just like everybody else. So we got the drug policy notice, and it says that 2023 we paid $80.40 each a month, and in 24 it was going down to $76.70. Goody, money in the pocket, right? But then I had to go and screw it all up by reading the article, and here's what I found. The annual deductible this year, $505. Next year, $545. That's an increase of $40 a person. Huh. Copay on drugs, tier one drugs, went up just a little bit from $3 to $6. That's a 100% increase. Copay on tier two drugs up from $14 to $16. That's a 14% increase. So we get a premium reduction of $3.70 per person per month, or $44.40 annually. Well, that's already used up if you meet your deductible. Now, let's say we have one tier one drug a month, and it's saving us. Oh, wait, it's not saving us. It's costing us an extra $3 a month. That's another $36. So then we look, we call it a little sleight of hand. We look to see next what when Medicare comes out with the IRMA adjustments. So those will likely go up also. I don't see any possibility of them going down. So what's going on here is we are having our costs, and this is what Biden always hangs his hat on, and this is why it bugs me. Instead of lowering inflation, this administration keeps saying they want to reduce costs for taxpayers. Well, if this is a way of reducing costs, it's sure a funny one, because I feel people tugging at my wallet already on it. This is the kind of stuff that drives normal people absolutely insane. They cover up anything they can cover up. So when you get yours, if you have an initial smile on your face, read the whole article, because you never know. Okay, there's an alternative to Medicare. There's a couple of them. One of them is if you're still working on the plan that, or your spouse even, and you're covered by it, and they're suitable, you don't have to do Medicare. But for normal people who turn 65 and it becomes Medicare time, you have a couple options. One of them is to use traditional Medicare and, like we do, get a supplemental policy from a private carrier, such as Florida Blue or United Health or whatever. So we do that part. But there are other people who have what they call a Medicare Advantage plan, which I believe they refer to as Part C. And the Advantage plan takes you out of Medicare and puts you in the hands of an insurance company instead. And that insurance company will make you usually some pretty good claims. In other words, selling. Well, now the truth comes out. The free Medicare benefits may not really be so free. And you've seen all kinds of people, celebrities and others, saying, well, I called to see if I could get additional benefits, and I got this and I got that, and on. So big deal, right? But it doesn't look that good when you get down into it. Below the sales pitch, there are some possibilities that you want to look at. Now, I don't know if this happens in Florida, but in some states especially, there is an option for an Advantage plan that costs you $0 a month in premiums. Now, those on the sales job of those things, they say it puts extra money back in your Social Security check, which it does, because you're not paying out the $218 or whatever it will be for basic Medicare. So you do get more a month. But what happens? There are some basic differences that people need to know about. And I only have 30 seconds, so I'm just going to say after the break, I'll come in and throw a few of them out. But even that might not be the worst thing you got to look for. Because once you make that choice, it might become virtually irreversible, and you might be very sorry because of how these things work. So we'll pick this up right on the other side. Don't go anywhere. We'll pay a couple bills. We'll be right back. This is the Vanwee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Vanwee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Vanwee.
And I'm Adam Vanwee.
And I've got to remind everybody that the lines are open, 904-222-8255. And the trivia question is out there. What percentage of Americans are on traditional Medicare? But first, good morning, Marshall.
Good morning, gentlemen.
How are you?
You know, I discovered something a couple of years ago. Y'all, of course, had mentioned if you've taken Plan D for your prescription drugs, you have to stay on it. You have to keep paying it.
Yeah, they won't let you in. They won't let you back. And that was one thing that you're in danger of with all kinds of Medicare, too.
Well, the interesting thing is I also started comparing to good Rx. And after I played with the numbers a bit, I went out and got the least expensive Plan D I could get, and I gave that card and I gave the GoodRx card to the wonderful people at Publix Pharmacy, and they picked whichever one is most reasonable for me as they're filling my prescription.
Nice, huh?
And I got to tell you, it was like $13 a month for WellCare, and they dropped it to $10 this year. And I don't use that much. It's usually the GoodRx gives a better deal.
Yeah, that's interesting.
You know, everybody's going to have something a little different because some people have some very expensive prescriptions, and those are treated very roughly by all programs.
Yeah.
But I just thought I'd throw that out there. But I did have one other item that, you know, you've got a pretty awesome audience out there, and some of them may have heard something, or you may have heard something about any kind of publication where someone has done some research to say, you know, what if the government actually did run like a business? Do you remember the movie Dave?
Yeah.
Yeah.
One of the great ones.
The fake program. And that was just a sampling of, oh, let's go find X amount of dollars. And his little CPA goes, running through the books, says, oh, that's real easy, you know. Do you think maybe if we had two or three extremely wealthy presidents in a row, there might be the possibility of turning to that?
Well, Trump started it, essentially. He started running a lot of things more like a business. The first thing he did, in the first few days anyway, he renegotiated the cost of the new Air Force Ones, saving us a couple of billion bucks. Pardon?
That was awesome.
Wasn't it, though? And same plane. Just cost us a couple billion less. He did the same thing when he moved the embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. And instead of building a $20 or $30 million building, they remodeled it for a few hundred thousand. There again, saving us millions and millions. Unfortunately, didn't get a chance to carry that on. But now you listen to Ramaswamy talk, and he sounds exactly like what you're talking about. The first thing you do is you don't talk about draining the swamp. You drain it and lock the door on a few departments and so on. He would have a battle on his hands, an epic battle on his hands. But the very fact that he's willing to stand up there and try it, I think would be great.
Well, I don't know who might be someone who would understand how to write such a book, but it would be interesting to see those opportunities. And I don't know if possibly Vivek has started writing that down somewhere, but I just thought it was real interesting when you brought that up. Are we running? I mean, it's kind of like you've got a guy who's a sprinter. You put an overcoat on him. You made him carry a set of barbells with him. You know, how many other things are we going to load onto the runner?
Yep. It's true. Do you remember what Reagan said about things in D.C.? You know, if it doesn't move, you subsidize it. And if it moves, you tax it. And if it stops moving, I can't remember how all of that went. But you know, the longest living thing in the world is a government program, and it's true. How much is necessary? Not much.
Thank you for the good news on the market. I've kind of intentionally kept my mind away from it during the week.
Very smart.
I just wait to hear y'all's direction on it.
Yeah, you'll live longer.
Thank you very much.
Hey, you want to take a quick trivia shot?
Oh, how about let me throw something out there to see if we can set a bottom to go with that top that previous guy set.
Sure.
How about 13?
13?
Yeah.
That's a little too high.
Okay.
But good guess.
We got another cap on it.
You're bracketing about as well as it can be done.
Very good.
Thanks for the call. Have a good weekend.
Marshall's right. During times like September, I don't look at my own account either. I know that I own things that I want to own long term.
Exactly.
And so what does it matter what they're worth today versus what? Because I know they're going to be very worth a lot more 20 years from now.
Yeah. Well, I probably looked at it less this month than I have in any month in 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
You just know. You knew when you got into September that the feel was it's going to be September.
Yeah,
and it's going to be September for 30 days, like it or not. Boom. Then go away and come back later.
Yeah. The other thing is I do my 401k contribution on the first of the month. And months like these, I really look forward to it because I know I'm getting a bargain.
Absolutely true. All right. Anyway, back to Medicare. The Advantage plan sure sounds good on paper. You don't have to pay for it. You get all this extra stuff. But let's see what might happen. If you have a preferred provider, a doctor, a clinic, whatever, it's very unlikely that your Medicare Advantage plan will cover those. They all have their own networks, and you have to use somebody in the network. I find where that's useful is for people coming into town. For instance, retirees come to a new location. They don't have any preconceived notions about providers. So if they want to use an Advantage plan, then they find out who's in the network and who isn't, and they start selecting from that. And I think that's perfectly reasonable. It's a market-based approach. But what they don't tell you is, we've got another phone call too, but what they don't tell you about that is really simple. Just because somebody is in the network this quarter does not mean they'll be in that same network next quarter. I found that out with my own dentist, among others. All right, here. Good morning, Greg.
Good morning, gentlemen. I love this fall weather.
Oh, it feels great, doesn't it?
Yeah, I've been waiting all summer long for this weather.
We really earned it this year.
We did. It was hot. I don't normally complain, but it's hot.
So I wanted to just add on to your previous caller.
Yeah.
And what you fellas have been talking about over the last several years, and that is this government spending. And you really don't see it in action unless, like me, I had a business where I was actually dealing with the government buying their unused assets and then liquidating that and reselling it.
Mm-hmm.
And what I found was some of it was from the military, some of it was from the VA, some of it was from prisons. I mean, some of it was from literally from every branch of the government that you can imagine, even the Justice Department. And so what I found was, and it was appalling, is I would find brand new, for example, MRI units that had been purchased 20 years prior that were still sitting in the crates, the original crates that they delivered from GE, never was used, wasn't even opened, but someone had thought that it was a good idea to buy an MRI unit, and then it was delivered to the VA, and then they changed their mind. That unit originally cost over $250,000. I'm sure they probably cost way more than that today, but this was 2009, 2010, around there. And never was used, never opened, never installed, and it sold at auction for $20,000.
Yeah.
And I saw this over and over and over again And it's just money that is just being just thrown away. It's just you pay your taxes, and then you feel, you know, like, oh, I don't have to worry about them for another year, and you go about working and doing your. And meanwhile, your representatives are just it just sickens me when I think about it. So now we're so far in debt. They have no idea where this money is going once it gets into the bureaucracy or how it's spent. There's no accountability, and it's just a wreck.
How many billions are not accounted for in Ukraine?
Trillions. Yeah, this is, like I said, it's in all aspects of the government, and people really need. I wish there was a way to force, you know, when these purchases are made by these different departments, that there's a way of accountability. I thought maybe something, for example, like a law where it would say if you don't use the asset within the first 6 months, that it's to be resold or the company takes it or something. There has to be accountability.
There's supposed to be an inspector general function everywhere in the government, and some of them do something once in a while. But you're right, in the vast majority, it's like putting it in the big black hole of life, never to be resurfaced. The people like elected officials in particular, they have these little toys like the Federal Reserve that are there to do nothing except make sure that Congress never has to accept responsibility for anything. Very successful at that too, aren't they?
Yeah, it's your children and grandchildren that end up having to pay this. Yep. If someday that's going to all collapse.
Can you hold for a couple seconds over the break?
Yes.
Thank you. We'll get right back. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And we'll get right back to Greg on the phone as soon as I remind everybody that the trivia question is still there. What percentage of Americans are on traditional Medicare, and we know it's a number less than 13%. Thanks for holding, Greg.
All right. Yeah. One last thing about this, and then I'll try to answer your question.
Sure.
The thing is, the what's sad about this, for example, is that when you looking at the VA and what I saw there, and as I said before, this goes into all the other departments. When they waste money like they do, it means the veterans aren't getting it. It isn't going to where it's needed most. So, you know, that's what I got from all of that. It'd be one thing if the, you know, if they were buying these things and actually using them, but in every department throughout the government, you're seeing this, and what that means is that. That money is not being used where it should be. So, it really got my attention when I actually was on the ground and could see this waste of spending in action. It really is more than what a person could imagine. It's really disturbing. But I'll get off that soapbox. I'll try to answer your question.
Yes.
So I think you said the high was 13. Was there a low?
Zero.
Oh, zero. Okay. So no one's hit the low yet.
No.
Okay. Well, I'll do that. I'm going to say 4%.
All right. Now we have a low. You did exactly what, right.
All right. Well, I've set a channel there. So
yep, absolutely.
The next one. Yeah. So, the VWAP is going to be somewhere in the middle.
Yep, you got it. Appreciate the call, Greg.
Okay.
Thanks.
Okay, bye-bye.
You know, there's another thing, speaking of all the wasteful spending like that, that's why the velocity of money is so much higher in the private sector, because you give it to the government, they spend it on something, put it in a warehouse. So it doesn't have the ripple effect through the economy that private spending does, which is just another reason that it should be smaller. Let the public sector do what the public sector does, and the money will move faster, the economy will be stronger, more people get hired. It's all just common sense economics, but that's the problem. It's common sense. So not likely to happen. All right, aside from the network problems, where if you want, it's all about choice. If you want to have a physician or a clinic or whatever, you have to either find an Advantage plan that covers it or take traditional. And that problem can change on you real fast. There's no obligation for people staying in and getting out of particular networks. So we have to beware of that. Let the buyer beware, in fact. So another one, if you have an Advantage plan, many of them require you to get prior authorization for a whole bunch of medical services. And that requires a pain in the rear end once in a while. There's one sort of little catch-all fix to that. If you have an Advantage plan and you have an emergency, you are covered for that emergency. The problem is what happens once the emergency has lessened. And that problem can be very, very bad, because if you wind up in the hospital and you're in the wrong hospital, then the only expenses that are likely to be covered by your Advantage plan are the actual hospital. That means doctors and drugs and surgeries and all those things. They might not be handled if the emergency takes you to the wrong place. So you might actually have to get transported to a different hospital or something like that. Not very much fun. According to a recent AMA report, 94% of doctors said prior authorization delayed their parents' access to necessary care, and almost half say they've seen these delays lead to urgent or emergency care. Beware. Good morning, Mr. Walker.
Thank you, gentlemen. Gentlemen, it's been a while since I've talked to y'all, but you have a great subject matter today, and I wanted to see if I could hit the middle.
Okay.
I'm going to say seven.
Seven's a little too low yet. You're close. No cigar.
Good to go. Well, I want to get off because I want to hear, you know, more meat. You give them some good food.
All right. Thanks so much.
Thanks for the
call. Appreciate the call. Anyway, the bottom line on the Medicare Advantage is beware of the word free or extra or any of that. It is not necessarily what it seems. And in fact, a recent study said limits of spending can be as low as $8,300 in network and $12,450 out of network, or $691 a month in extra spending that you wouldn't have with traditional Medicare and a supplement. Just something you should be well aware of. It doesn't get much play. The reason that it came up for me, as I said, was personal, but there's something else going on here too. We all know about 2032 or so, Social Security Trust Fund, I use that term loosely, will be out of money. But who knew that the Medicare Part A Trust Fund is scheduled to be broke in 2031?
I did not know that.
I did not either. That's kind of scary. Now, with Social Security, when it runs out in 32 or 33, the existing people will, in fact, everybody, existing and future, will have to take a 23% benefit cut approximately. And that is not going to sit well for a lot of older people on a fixed income. You know they're going to do something to try to fix it, but who knows what? What are they going to do with Medicare? Yeah, exactly. Every year it gets worse. Good morning, Leroy.
Hey, good morning, folks.
What's happening?
I don't know a whole lot. I was going to try to make a stab at your question.
Sure.
Before you run out of time.
You can't answer this. I still owe you one from a few weeks ago.
Yeah, send him a double.
No, go ahead.
What's your best shot?
How about 9.5?
That's within the range. It's 9 to 10, and I had that range listed as acceptable, so we have a winner.
Hey, thank you.
Good job. You can thank Bob and Marshall and Greg and Mr. Walker.
they did a wonderful job.
Didn't they, though? I always love that. All right, we know where you live.
Okay, thank you.
Appreciate it. Thanks. Yeah, there are actually about 20% of Americans on Medicare, and about half of those are on traditional Medicare. That's how big these Advantage plans have gotten. But everybody, just beware. Don't jump into it. The other thing is, if you get in there and don't like it, you might not be allowed back in traditional. So do your homework here. Yeah, I've been looking around for someone who's a really true qualified expert in Medicare because we get so many questions about it, but it hasn't happened yet. Good morning, Bob.
Hey, guys. Calling back. I want to let you know that we have Medicare Advantage.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to name the name of the plan, but many of the hospital systems are dropping Medicare Advantage.
Yep. That's a problem.
I don't know if you talked about that because I went off the air and when I came back from the trash, but somebody told us that you're going to see more and more of that through hospital systems around the nation.
They're struggling. A lot of them are closing up. A lot of rural hospitals are closing up, and others are being flooded with non-paying customers, and it's not good. It bodes very, very poorly for the healthcare system in this country. And I've just been starting to be aware of how bad it is. That's why I wanted to bring it up.
Well, there's one in your backyard, and I'm not going to mention the name.
Tall building?
No comment.
Yeah, I hear you. But yeah. That, if we get nothing else out of this conversation today, I want people to know more about it than just going in.
I missed some of the program, so I'll have to go on. If Adam can send me... send me the link to your...
Yeah, it'll be on the website. Monday. Mm-hmm. It'll be on on our website
My wife's listening, too. We want to hear the whole thing.
So. Okay, good.
Yeah,
and you bring tremendous value to the community.
Well, thank you. So. We appreciate that. And by the way, Adam's so nice, he strips out all the commercials in this show so you can hear it in less time.
Too. Yep, true. It's an hour show that only takes 42 minutes to listen to.
Yeah, how about that?
You need sponsors, though. You need sponsors, so that's important.
Yep.
All right,
we appreciate it, Bob. Thanks.
Yes, sir. Bye.
I should remind everybody, too, that tomorrow morning, the Jaguar game, since it's in London, will start at 9:30 in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're an avid fan and want to see the television and you look at noon or 1 or something like that, it's going to be over.
Or if you're looking for a reason to drink at 9:30 tomorrow morning, that they may give you one.
Yeah, and they're occasionally good at it.
I mean... this year, they've been really good at it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, enough said. Anyway, I'm awfully glad for the feedback. We appreciate everybody who has something to say about this. As I said, I'm just sort of on the cusp of being enlightened as to the real serious nature of this problem. And as Adam was surprised when I said 2031, I was not just surprised, but just devastated. These problems are so big, and we're sending these hundreds of billions of dollars to Ukraine and leaving $85 billion worth of stuff in Afghanistan. We just got to get control of this government somehow, people, or we're all going to be in deep doo-doo financially.
They just
and that's where it bothers us.
There's just no incentives in place for them to care. They have a printing press, and they're not afraid to use it.
No, and I don't see... what's going to happen unless people wake up and vote the fools out?
It's our job to hold them accountable.
Yeah, how can you have an approval rate of Congress at about 17% and a re-election of 95%?
It makes no sense.
Everybody's bad except mine. That's been the attitude through my adult voting life. All right, I have a subject that I put off again. We've been talking about year-end planning, and I put one off because the Medicare thing hit me in between the eyes. We'll start up on that next week, same time. Thanks for listening. This is the Vanway Financial Hour.
AM 600.